free ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
Hey, we're back. Day two of the NBL Blitz here in Darwin. I'm Andrew Canyon, and this is NBL Pocket Podcast, day two. We had a bit of two games this evening, as all the days will be from here on in. Last night was just a single game, but from this point forward, it's basically double headers every night. So the first game out of the blocks today was the grand final rematch. We had Tasmania Jack Jumpers versus the Sydney Kings. First thing I'll say about this game, as soon as it presented on court, was both teams were wearing their colours. We had Tasmania in green, Sydney in purple, and it looked great. No away white uniform was needed, so none was worn. I really hope this is a trend that we see throughout the season this year. If there's no clash, let's go with the colours. Let's not do this silly, every away team must wear white business. This was a scrappy game. It was highlighted by poor shooting and poor ball handling. Neither team could really get going. Looking at both these teams, neither of them seems to have upgraded. And in fact, I think they've probably both gone backwards. Let's start with Tasmania. Last season, Josh Adams, we've talked so much about this guy. He was the heart and soul of their offense last year, particularly in the latter half of the season and certainly in the grand final series. He offered a focal point for this team, a team that got by on grit and determination and defensive effort, but he was a difference maker and a focal point for their offense. This season, I don't think they have such a player based on this game anyway. They've got a lot of, their imports are all, seem to be good. You know, Majet is very good, but he's the distributor. The other two guys, like, better than Mikal McIntosh, but I didn't see a replacement for Josh Adams in them. So I'm a little worried about how they're going to go through the season. It could be a long one. Early days yet, it's one game in, I don't want to start ringing alarm bells, but at this point, there's a lot of work to be done for the Jack Jumpers. Just they don't have that dynamism that I think they may need. Over to the Sydney Kings. God, there are a lot of players that looked very rusty. Jordan Hunter, fair enough, he's only back after a season off, but he had hands like flippers tonight. He couldn't catch anything. And then he was trying to step out and hit three-pointers. Has he added that to his game? If he has, he didn't display it tonight. And then there's Kawhi Noi stepping into this team. Again, another player who's come off a bit extended injury break. But he was just costly. He was attacking the rim when there was nothing there, and he just seemed determined to get his. It was, I think if Kawhi Noi might need to reevaluate what he's trying to achieve, because he was just trying too hard and seemed too anxious to impress. There was one sequence of plays where he had a turnover, followed by a charge, and then followed by a missed transition three. So that was not good. And Suarez, I'm not sold on him either. So he's huge dude, but spends most of his time out in that three-point line. Between him and Hunter, I'm just worried for the Kings' front line. Sure, they've got Cooks, but Cooks, if this is sort of the way they're going to continue to play, Cooks is going to have a huge load put upon him in that front court, and he's basically going to continue to have to play that center role. And as for Cooks, he's still not showing the ability to hit the three. We've talked about it for a long time that he really needs to add that to his game to take it to the next level. And tonight, it wasn't on display at all. So I think Cooks continues to be an impressive athlete that does great work around the rim. But that could be his limiting factor, that he can't step out and hit that three. So based on this game, I would say both these teams may have actually downgraded over the off-season. I mean, the Kings finished with about 50 points, just over 50 points. So look, back to the drawing board on that one. What I will say about the Kings is I had a chance to have a quick chat with Zach Gatorna, a new signing with them. He's actually a former Perth Redback, so I was commentating his games over the NBL 1 West season this year, so I'm familiar with his game. He's just recovering from a broken finger. He's pretty excited to get back on the court. He's feeling good. He obviously spent that time in Adelaide last year, and he really feels that he can now knows that he can compete in this league. He has the confidence to do it, and he's saying, you know, he sort of, you know, he knows he can keep up with the 1-3 on the court. So I'm excited for him. I hope he does well. Obviously, as a Redbacks player over the last year. The one other thing he did say about moving to Sydney, he said the traffic's terrible. So I'm sure anybody who lives in Sydney will probably agree. Right, let's move on to the second game. You know, the first thing that struck me was the Wildcats organization. Before the game tipped off, when the Wildcats came in to warm up, just as all the other teams to date have done, this with the Wildcats, a phalanx of people come with them. You've got social media people rolling in, almost as if the Queen's hearse is about to roll on past. There's people everywhere. There's photographers, there's video guys. It's all happening. It's not something I had seen with any of the other teams to date, who are all pretty low-key about the affair. Now, this could have been a grand final for all you knew with the amount of people that the Wildcats organization were bringing in. They got the full armory. And I have to say, it created a very different vibe to the relaxed chillness of the Darwin event so far. It was just a different vibe when you had all these people, all these Wildcats people, surrounding the team. It's just an interesting take, and not one that obviously would have shown up on TV or anything like that. Looking at this game, obviously it was the Bryce Cotton game. Really interesting to see how locked in he looked already. He looked in mid-season form, ready to go. I think he's primed, clearly mentally primed for a big season. And the offensive structures that John Riley has put into place seems to be setting him up for success. Certainly a few more offensive sets that reminded me of the Gleeson era Wildcats a little bit more. Some of those curl cuts he was coming off with the high screens enabled him to get open shots at the top of the key, which is sort of his preferred three-point position, you'd say. And then the Wildcats later on start to really whip the ball around and make some good decisions and find some shooters. And they sort of showed in that third and fourth quarter when the ball was zipping and the shots were going in what this team could potentially be. But what it needs is a Brady Manick that can hit the three. He had a shocker of a performance. He airballed a three at one point. He just couldn't hit water from a boat. And he was thoroughly outplayed by Keanu Pinder, who had a fantastic performance and just looked like a phenomenal athlete out there on the court. There was nobody who could match his athleticism. And he had his way with Manick. Just absolutely outplayed him each time that was the matchup in being played. Jonah Antonio, just a wicked quick release on that three-point shot for Taipans. I'm just thinking you've got him on the court, you've got Bukwal, we know, is a quality shooter. They're going to have weapons. You know, Mirko Jerich, we know about him as well. They're going to have weapons all over the court this season. I'm really excited by the way they're going to play. They faded in the third and fourth quarters, but I like the look of Cairns this year, and I think they'll continue to build. It's looking really good. At one point in the game, Mitch Norton took an injury, He went off the court, was not happy, very displeased with his body and what happened. It didn't seem like it was too severe maybe at the end of the game, but certainly in that moment it didn't look great. So I would expect the Wildcats will probably rest him for the next game, just as they rested Tayshaun Thomas in this game as well as Jesse Wagstaff. Luke Travers, he has a way of getting to the basket in a really awkward way, but somehow making it work. It sort of reminds me, he's like seeing arms and legs in a blender. He just sort of attacks the rim all over the place, but somehow stays in control and usually, you know, lay it in or he can elevate quick for the dunk. It's an interesting thing. It almost looks like he's still growing into his body. I don't know if that's the case, but I just think once, you know, it's almost like watching a gangly teenager sometimes. And if he gets full control over his body, and it's going to be something else, because he's starting to really show that he's going to grab that defensive rebound and just take off. No outlet passing. He just gets it and goes and creates a fast break transition for the Wildcats. So watch out for that this year. Lastly, on the stats point of view, only 8 turnovers for Perth. That's a really good low number for them and something that we'll be well pleased about. While they had 8 turnovers, they had 1 technical foul. John really getting fired up at the referees. There were some interesting calls, but, you know, referees are in the preseason too. John really was treating the game like it was mid-season. So he's an intense coach. I think that's probably going to be his style through the entire campaign this year. So there we are. That was day 2. Tomorrow, day 3, looking ahead, what do we got? Gosh, it's already so much basketball, it's hard to keep up. Let's have a look here. So tomorrow we have the Brisbane Bullets versus the New Zealand Breakers. And then following that, we have Illawarra Hawks against Melbourne United. Oof, Illawarra, they're the team we've talked about as being maybe a little off the pace. It'll be interesting to see how they crack up against Melbourne there. So there we are. 2 more games down. Another 2 games to go tomorrow. Blitz Day 2 in the can. This is Andrew Canyon for NBL Pocket Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew Canyon for all the on-the-moment news as I find it and as we watch the games. There's a good bit of banter there. So look forward to seeing you on Twitter. If you've got any feedback or anything you'd like to know or see, please let me know. I'll do my best for you, the listener of NBL Pocket Podcast. All right, until tomorrow, see ya.